And a very fine evening to all of you. This is Tom at Tom Harris USA. Welcome to episode number 33. And this episode is going to be sort of part two of three. Because last episode I talked a bit about my time in London and sort of the various things that Paul and I did while we were in London. This time I'm going to talk a little bit more generally about the UK and my take on how UK life is different from life here in the States, and sort of the similarities and the differences, and some of the things that I like to do in the UK, which are different from things that perhaps I would do here in the States. Now, next show is going to be about the Hadrian's Wall path. So it's going to be a bit different from last show and this show, because that's going to be more like a travelogue. I'm actually going to go step by step through the trip, and you know, I have some housing reviews because Leanne had requested that, and I'm more than happy to oblige. I always enjoy talking about the places that I've stayed, if I can remember the names. Just sort of a little bit about Hadrian's Wall, a little bit of the history. There'll be a little bit of history lesson mixed in, just so people can get a context of why I was interested in going there to begin with, other than just for the hike. Yeah, this is kind of interesting because this was sort of unexpected and it has nothing to do with the travel. Now, I don't talk about travel every week, folks. If you're just listening for the first time in the show or you listen to my previous show and this show, you're going to hear a lot of travel talk and next time too. But this show is not just a travel show. So if you're not interested in travel, I say, well, you know, you might want to go back and listen to some of the older ones. Yeah, because I don't always talk about travel. The other day, I got on the train to come home from work, and I saw another one of those pigeons. Now, you're probably asking yourself, what pigeons? You don't mention pigeons on the show. Well, it's true, I don't. But I did, some time ago, write my very first email to a podcast. And this would have been about in February. So we are actually kind of talking about, you know, 6 to 8 months or, you know, something like that ago. The very first letter that I ever wrote to a podcast was about, I think it was back in February, maybe the earliest part of March, wrote to Chris Reardon's show because he had been talking about pigeons in his garden. And here in Chicago, we have this really interesting thing that I see from time to time, and it's pigeons that ride the train. And I wrote to Chris and I mentioned this, and he was very pleased, you know, to have a new listener and to, you know, have something to talk about that was at least somewhat amusing. And his take on it was the pigeons are actually trying to steal people's wallets, which, oh, they very well could be. I actually kind of think they come in and they look for food in the train. But what was really interesting about this behavior is that the pigeons actually know when to get onto the train. When they hear the little bell that says that the door is closing, they kind of, you know, walk or fly onto the train. And then they just kind of wander around after the door is closing, you know, peck at the floor or whatever. But what's really interesting is that when it's getting close to the next station, they go towards the door. And they wait there until the door opens, and then they leave the train. Very, very strange behavior. And of course, pigeons are maybe not as stupid as a lot of people think they are, but it really is interesting. And what I've noticed is that it's not the same birds all the time. And the one I saw the other day looked like a very young bird, which kind of implies to me that the parent birds are actually teaching the babies how to do this and how to recognize when the train is going to stop and open its door. And they kind of come on the train, they poke around a little bit, and then they get off the train. And I wonder if they just kind of get on the next train going the other way. And very, very interesting. And I saw it again the other day, which reminded me of this. But in a very strange way, pigeons are responsible for the show. Because if I hadn't written that letter to Chris and kind of started to get to know a little bit about him and got in conversation with him over email about the show. You know, I might never have started this podcast. So these pigeons that ride the trains are kind of responsible for all this. So, I can see some of you probably going getting your guns and slingshots ready to take care of the pigeon problem so that won't happen again. So, anyway, I just thought I'd mention that because I thought it was worth a mention. Maybe not worth 5 minutes of my show, which is ultimately what it took up. But anyway, so UK. Back to the UK again. And I talked last time about London and the various things that Paul and I did in London. And this time I'm going to be a little bit more general because one of the things that I like about the UK are the differences between the UK and the US. Now, there are things that I'll do in the UK that I really don't do here in the States. One of those things is going to pubs. I don't go to bars here in the U.S. very, very rarely. It's every once in a great while, but there I'm at the pub almost every night. Now, that has a lot to do with the pub culture in the U.K. A lot of people go to pubs. It's kind of the social thing to do. And, you know, here it's a little bit different. They're more expensive here. You don't get as much drink. There the measurements of the booze and so forth are more tightly regulated than here. So, I mean, I can go to a bar here and pay $7 or $8 for a weak drink, whereas if I were to go buy a drink in the UK, it would actually cost me a pretty similar amount of money. It wouldn't be so much, but it would be a stronger drink. Now, when I'm in the UK, I usually tend to drink cider. That seems to be the thing that I... because it's hard to get good cider here. One thing I've noticed, and I talked about on the alcohol show that I did. I think it was episode 8. Not absolutely sure about that, but you might want to go back and look. On the alcohol show, I talked a bit about the Samuel Smith's organic cider. Well, a lot of the pubs now in Britain have that on draft. So, so, so good. Yeah, and I'll drink Strongbow if it's the only thing available. That seems to be dominating the market over there now. And you can get it here too, but on draft, you know, usually in the cheaper pubs, the kind of the lower class pubs, you tend to see the Strongbow. And if they don't have that, then you can usually get Bulmers or Magners in the bottle. So going to pubs, that's one thing. And I really enjoy that in the UK. And you know, traveling with Paul, it's a little different because he's not as gregarious as I am. He's not as talkative as I am. Not that I am either. I think, you know, people who know me here kind of think of me as sort of the quiet one. Not that any of you would, because you have to listen to me talking for a half an hour at a time. But in large groups, I do tend to be rather quiet and not say anything unless I have something to say. The other thing I do in the UK that I almost never do at home is gamble. Now, I love the fruit machines. Now, for those of you who are in the States who maybe don't know what a fruit machine is, it's sort of kind of like a slot machine. It isn't exactly like a slot machine. In fact, I would say, not that this will mean anything to a lot of you, but it's as much like a slot machine as a pachinko machine is to a pinball game. So it isn't, you know, it's similar in a lot of ways, but it's not exactly the same. Anyway, usually it's kind of like a slot machine, and that's really all you need to know. But it's kind of a cross between a slot machine and a video game. Anyway, I do like the fruit machines, and I'm happy to say, and this I didn't lose a lot of money on this trip. I did play the fruit machines quite a bit after London. Not in London. I think I dropped a couple pounds in the one at Belushi's. In fact, Chris came up to me while I was playing the one at Belushi's and said, you'd be better off investing in your local housing authority or something like that. I understand. You know, gambling is a terrible, terrible waste of money. But I actually did pretty well, and I almost broke even. I say almost because I actually, at the very beginning of the trip, lost probably about 10 or 15 pounds. And then I won most of that back. So really, I was kind of out maybe 5 pounds that I didn't win back, ultimately. But that's okay because the amount of time I spent playing the fruit machines was worth that £5 in entertainment value. So it does kind of all work out in the end. So that's something I never do here. I never go to casinos or anything like that here. I've occasionally played fruit machines online because there's a couple sites where you can actually sign up and play fruit machines for free and not actually gamble any money. But you can also really gamble and really spend money on them. But I don't do that. The other thing I do and when I'm traveling, and I think I may have mentioned this before, is go into churches. Now, as everyone knows, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in metaphysical beings, gods, anything like that. But I do love churches and shrines and temples, and I love to go in them and look around, and especially the big churches, Westminster Abbey, York Minster, Durham Cathedral. There was one in Carlisle that I went into. There's a whole bunch of I like the bigger churches, and failing that, I like the really small old churches, like the Norman churches. And a lot of these were built on sacred sites that were sacred to the people who were there before Christianity came there. They kind of stole the site and built the church there because that's where people were used to going to worship. So they figure, okay, well, you know, they've been coming here anyway, so we'll keep them coming here, but we'll tell them to worship somebody else. That's one thing that I never do here. I almost never go into churches here. But it's really interesting to look at the monuments and the gravestones and so forth. I love cemeteries. I think I've talked about that on the show before. Not quite the same over there, but I do like them. I didn't go to any cemeteries this time, but I did go into a lot of churches. I spent a lot of time in Gloucester Cathedral when I was down there, kind of looking around, and I'd been there before. Now, the one thing about Gloucester Cathedral that I didn't know until I was there this time is that they filmed a lot of the Harry Potter movies there in the cloister. The hall scenes in Hogwarts were filmed in the cloisters of Gloucester Cathedral. So that was kind of cool. And you can see it when you're there. It's like, wow, gosh, this looks really familiar. So that was neat. So it was actually kind of fun. And the other thing about the UK, and I don't normally do, I'm not a breakfast person. I'm not even really a morning person. I hate getting up in the morning. And when I'm on vacation, I'm, of course, more enthusiastic about getting up in the morning because I have stuff to do. I have stuff to go look at, and it's really cool. But the cooked breakfast, the English breakfast. Now, a lot of the places we stayed offered, you know, the full English. You know, bed and breakfast do. A lot of the hotels do. I don't get the whole baked beans for breakfast thing and mushrooms for breakfast. Why do they have so many breakfast foods that make you fart? And it's very, very strange, but you kind of get used to it. Now, back when I first went to the UK, the full English would have been, you know, eggs, bacon, sausage, baked beans, stewed tomatoes or mushrooms, one or the other. I much prefer the mushrooms, I have to say. The stewed tomatoes, I'll eat them, but they're not my favorite. And then they would have this little triangle of pan-fried bread. Greasiest, nastiest thing. And I'm very, very pleased to say that they really don't seem to put that in most of the breakfasts now. One of the things, though, you know, that also has changed is that it's a lot easier for vegetarians in Britain now. And I kind of place I don't want to say place the blame because that sounds kind of like I think it's a bad thing. I think it's a great thing. The Vegetarian Society, whatever group that, you know, Linda McCartney belonged to, you know, they have been successful in sort of raising up the awareness that people have of vegetarianism. And I'm not a strict vegetarian. I eat seafood. So I'm sort of a pescatarian. I'm finding that, you know, the English breakfast now, if you go to a B&B, you say, oh, I want a vegetarian English breakfast, and they know exactly what you mean. and you will get a vegetarian English breakfast, and it's lovely. I did get tired of it, though. You know, I don't think I could eat an English breakfast every single day. To me, that's just, it would just be too excessive. You know, I found myself eating a lot when I was in the UK, and I'm amazed that I actually lost weight on vacation. Though it might have had something to do with the fact that I was walking 15 miles a day. In fact, I would probably say it was all that. But I was, you know, eating these fried breakfasts in the morning and traveling with Paul. Paul is, in a lot of ways, my best friend Paul is very much like my boyfriend Pete. And one of those ways that they're very similar is that they're always hungry. And so when I'm traveling with Paul, and when I'm traveling with Pete as well, actually, I tend to eat more than I would at home, a lot more sometimes. So I'm actually very amazed that I actually did lose a few pounds while I was over there. How many? Not really sure. I just know that my belt is tighter now. When I say that my belt is tighter, it means I'm actually, you know, doing another notch smaller to keep my pants up. So I know I did lose some. What I really need, and you know, I've talked before about me needing to find a gym, me needing to lose weight. Now, as those of you who've seen my pictures, you see exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not a small, skinny guy. I've got kind of a gut. It's in my genes. My dad's the same build as I am. His mother before him was the same build. My sister's the same build. You know, we all kind of have the same stocky build. And I've never, ever been thin. And I think that people who've known me for a long time or listening to the show, who've known me since the 80s, will, you know, verify that. I was never really skinny. I was always kind of sturdy built, even before I was as overweight as I am. But it's true. You know, I really wish that I had Hadrian's Wall path in my backyard. Because as much as I've talked about going to the gym, I really hate the whole idea of going and working out in a gym. I loved hiking the Hadrian's Wall Path. I loved hiking the South Downs Way. I loved walking around London. And that's sort of the thing I like. I love walking as long as I'm actually going somewhere. And so I wouldn't like, you know, I don't like the whole treadmill thing. To me, it's not interesting. So I really wish that I had something like that here. But Chicago is flat. We're in a prairie, so there's no hills. It's just kind of like Florida. It's just flat. Oh, the other thing I do before I get to the commentary that I don't do here in the States is watch TV. That was something that I didn't spend hours doing it when I was in the UK, but in the evening before dinner and also sort of late at night after you've gone to the pub, I was watching television, and I was really enjoying a lot of the shows now, and not the idiotic reality shows like Big Brother, though that was on while we were there, but things like Weird Things, things like Antiques Roadshow. Antiques Roadshow is just, I love it because you get to see a lot of cool old stuff. I really don't care about what it's all worth, but I just like seeing it. The quiz shows. Weakest Link is one that I like. There's a new one that I apparently just started over there called Pointless, which I thought was really interesting. There's another game show called Eggheads that I like. There's a lot of these houses shows, you know, people trying to buy houses. And there's a show called Trust Me, I'm a Dealer, which is about people trying to make money by hiring this guy to buy and sell antiques to make them money. And I find that very interesting. Anyway, I do have a few comments on the last show. You know, it's interesting. Nobody seems to care about the meaning of life. You know, I haven't gotten a single response to two shows ago, back before I went on vacation, about the meaning of life. Gee, are you all so jaded? Is life completely meaningless to you all? Let me know. By the way, if you want to write to the show, it's very easy to do so. You write to Tom at TomHarrisUSA.com. I have an email here from Mr. Ross Patzelt, our good friend Ross from the Ross Patzelt radio program. And Ross, I love Ross's emails. You know what? I love them because he writes them exactly the way he speaks. And I can hear his voice in my head as I'm reading it. Anyway, Ross had this to say. Hi, mate. Now listening to the new show. I know what it's like when you just aren't in the mood to go out. Yeah, he's talking about I was not kind of really not in a sociable mood when we went to go meet Chris. Sometimes I make the mistake of sometimes agreeing to go out on a Friday and then the Saturday night. Well, I always end up going out on the Friday, having a skin full, and then feeling shit on the Sat, and then don't want to go out. But I hate letting me mates down, so sometimes I go out, other times I may not. Glad you enjoyed London. I hardly ever go to London. I don't like it very much, apart from if I'm seeing a gig. All the best, mate, Ross. Well, thank you, Ross, for the email. I always like to hear from you. I understand that. You know, it's, I used to be, back in, when I was living in Florida, I used to go out a lot. And I would go out a lot and then kind of get burnt out on it and then not want to go out anymore. I think it really just kind of depends on my mood. And sometimes I am in a very sociable mood and really enjoy it, and then sometimes I'm not. And when we went to go see Chris at Belushi's, I was just kind of in a weird, tired place and didn't really enjoy it. Anyway, thanks for the comment. It is always good to hear from you. And you can listen to Ross's show, the Ross Patzelt Radio Show, which is on Sundays from 7 to 8 UK time, which is 1 to 2 in the afternoon Central time here in the US. And you can listen by going to rosspatzelt.co.uk. Oh, you know, I forgot to mention my coffee with Mystery Woman. Gosh, how could I forget that? That's kind of important. So when I came back to London after I'd gone, you know, through the hike and gone to Carlisle, and then I was in Gloucester for a few days, and I came back to London and was able to connect with Jackie, who is otherwise known as Mystery Woman. Now, Mystery Woman is actually somebody who has been one of my LiveJournal friends for a very long time, and I've talked about her in previous show. We agreed to meet at the St. Martin in the Fields Church Cafe, which is called the Cafe in the Crypt. And we did actually meet, and I showed her, you know, the photos and so forth that I'd taken, and what did we do? Oh, we went up to Camden Market, which is a place that I guess I had been many, many years before, but I hadn't been there for a long time. And we kind of wandered around Camden Market a little bit after our coffee, and it was a nice time. It was kind of a, you know, low key visit, and you know, she was kind of tired, so it wasn't a very long visit, but it was very nice to see her again. So Jackie, if you're listening, it was great to see you. Hopefully next time I come to London, we'll both be you know, more energetic and feel like they, maybe I'm just getting old, you know. But I managed to get a photo of myself and Jackie together, which is available on my Facebook site. And I just realized not everybody who's listening to the show necessarily would have access to that, would they? Well, if anybody really wants to see it, they can log on to Facebook and request me as a friend, and maybe I'll add you back so you can see it. I don't know if anyone really cares. Irving Distiller sent me a message on Facebook. He writes, "Where are the photos of the Mustard Museum?" And I responded to him, and I said, you know, I was nowhere near Norwich, which is true. And incidentally, I, even though I wasn't in Norwich, I actually called up Ross Patzelt on the phone because he had given me his phone number, thinking that I might be able to call his show when it was actually on. But it just didn't happen to work out that way. But I did call Ross and talked to him for a few minutes, and I think he mentioned this on his show last week. Did mention to Irving I was nowhere near Norwich, and he said, well, that museum in Norwich is just a cheap tourist trap imitation. The real Mustard Jar Museum is located on the fifth floor of a pub and hostel in Hammersmith. I don't know what you're talking about, Irving. Sorry. I think you've missed the boat this time. A lot of people are making comments on Facebook about the photos that I took. Obviously, these are going to be mostly people who are actually my Facebook friends, but I just want to thank everybody for your nice comments, because I had a lot of fun taking the pictures. It's always gratifying to hear that people like them, so I'm always happy to hear about that. Doug and Akeley left a comment. Doug says, Tom, real good show. He's talking about last show. I hope I can get over to London sometime. Also meet Chris. I've watched just about all of his programs now for a little over a year. Just about got all your shows done also. Take care. And that's from Doug DeLawyer over on Facebook. Yeah, you know, I'm just now, as of today, caught up on all of the various podcasts that I listen to. And, it's getting to the point where I'm listening to about six or seven regularly. Now, some of them only post new episodes once a month, like Basil Botler, though I did notice he's a little bit more often lately. It's funny because, I had, three Ross Patzalt shows to listen to. I had three American Talk USAs to listen to. I had three Legion of Substitute podcasters to listen to. I haven't even looked at Stimulated Boredom because he's been so erratic anyway that I'm not sure. And then I had about 12,516 United Kingdom talks. But my point is I've actually kind of caught up now. And so that's always a good feeling. Irving Distiller again wrote a comment on I left a comment on my Facebook page talking about the fact that my computer had a bad video card, and I mentioned this in the last show. Irving writes, aha, so your computer was turned into a bot while you were on holiday. 24-hour-a-day operation will take its toll on Dust Bunny contaminated video cards. And by the way, welcome home, you world traveler. Notice how careful I was not to inquire about Tom's job. Well, I did address that last time, Irving, and as you know, the video card's working okay now. I guess, just getting in and cleaning it. I think what happened, normally there's a fan in there all the time spinning, and it keeps the air circulating. But while I was gone, I turned off the computer completely. And so the dust kind of settled down in there, and I think that's where all the interference came from. Irving also wanted me to take pictures of the London Eye at night. And I'm sorry to say, Irving, I wasn't able to. If I had gotten your comment while I was in London, I would have been able to, because I actually wasn't that far from there, and I probably could have gone down. But I didn't get it till it was too late, so sorry about that. Nothing there. As far as the London Eye, I was on to Facebook only a few times while I was over there because I didn't have net access for most of the trip. I had some time in an internet cafe in London, and I had another couple of days when I was in Gloucester, and I was at the archives. I did some genealogy research while I was in Gloucester, and I was at the Gloucester Records office, and they have this thing there where you can use their computers to log on to your various websites and so forth dealing with genealogy, which is actually very convenient. But, there's nothing really to stop you from logging in, to Facebook or whatever. And so I did that while I was doing my genealogy searches. I was also sort of using their computers to do things like log into Facebook and check my email and various things like that. Probably not what they have in mind when they offer the computers for people's use. But, the way I look at it is that I'm not doing any harm, and there's no signs to say you can't do that. And if there were people waiting for the computer, then I would kind of understand. But there were always computers available, so that made things a lot easier. So anyway, looks like I'm going to wrap up the show. It might be a little shorter than normal, but hey, that happens sometimes too. Usually I run a few minutes long. So if I get a short episode once in a while, that's okay. Anyway, I'm going to sign off now. Next time, Hadrian's Wall Path. Don't miss it. I'll see you next time in episode number 34. So from Tom at Tom Harris USA, have a great evening.